Welcome to the Northern Business Podcast, a regular discussion with people in the north of England who lead businesses, employ people, and have new ideas to help our economy grow. The Northern Business Podcast is produced by Recognition PR, which serves scores of companies in different sectors all across the country, some of which occasionally contribute to this podcast. We're sponsored by Virtue Motors PLC, one of the top automotive retailers in the UK, with a network of dealerships representing some of the world's most popular brands of car. I'm Graham Robb, and today's episode, we are recognising International Women's Day, which happened earlier this week, and we have an all-female guest panel. We've got Pamela Petty, founder of Entreprenizing. I haven't got that right, the way to say it, Pamela.
Entreprenizing, that's
exactly Entreprenizing, there we are. It's a great name, but sometimes it is off the tongue. Pamela also works for one of the greatest manufacturers in the north of England, a family-run EBAC, which is based in Aycliffe in County Durham. Jo Davies is Managing Director at HR Alchemy, and she's coming to join us from Yarm in Teesside. And down the line in Manchester, we've got Liv Conran, who's the founder and CEO of The Property Stages. So welcome, everybody. I'm going to start down the line, if you don't mind, and start with you, Liz, for a starter for 10. Tell us, what is Property Stages?
Oh, so yeah, I mean, I started my staging company 10 years ago when I was 16. And what we do is that we take empty vacant properties that are on the market for sale, and we furnish and style them. So we stage over about 400 properties UK-wide. And when you stage your property, it looks like a show home. It gets a higher offer, more viewers, and it sells quicker.
I would recommend people watch your website if there's any thought that they're going to rent a property out or sell a property, because it certainly gives it that extra special sense of being a nice place to buy. You talk about 10 years in business. How many properties do you think you've staged in that time?
Oh, well, probably for about the last 7 to 8 years, we've staged around 300 to 500. So don't put my maths on the spot, but over several thousand.
Well done.
So yeah, it's been a journey, and it's a big business. It's a lot of logistics, but we just love it.
What's the kind of cost involved? I tried to look at it on your website, but you wanted me to put my property on the market, but I'm not ready to move, so I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, rule of thumb, people usually say 1% of the property price. It doesn't quite work like that in the UK. That's a very sort of US model. But if you kind of think like that, and usually it's a little bit less, then that's kind of good, like a good guide.
Does the property have to be empty for you to stage it?
It doesn't have to be. We prefer it when it is, because then we can have like our complete mark on it. But we do work with homeowners as well who have existing furniture. And sometimes those transformations are even more exciting, because you can see it go from their home to now this like showpiece that's now on the market for other people to view.
You suddenly turn around and you think, I don't want to move.
Yeah.
Pamela, you've probably sold a house in the past. I'm sure you have. Would you ever think of selling a house using this staging?
I probably would, and we actually, we've got rental houses as well. So my husband has rental houses, really. I've seen them on the television. In America, I think, is sort of more well known for it. I didn't know that it was a thing here, to be honest. So
I was also interested in looking at Liv's website, that for people who are maybe a little less involved in the rental of property, they may have an accidental property inherited from mum or dad or something like that, they'll go in and furnish it all and charge to get that done. Is that right? Said on your website, you build your own furniture.
Yeah, we manufacture our own furniture in Manchester. So we do it for staging properties for sale, but then also if you're going to list like a property on Airbnb, like we'll come in, we'll fully furnish it, and then you can rent it out the next day.
Right. That's a very interesting business. And you've won awards for this. Just tell us a little bit about how you've been recognised.
Yeah, I mean, we won 14 international business awards. I'm like 5-time Scottish Businesswoman of the Year. I was the UK Young Entrepreneur of the Year. So yeah, we've had a lot of recognition. We're very lucky in that sense. We've been in national press, which has just helped really grow the industry as well, which has been fabulous, because when I started 10 years ago, no one knew in the UK what home staging was. Whereas now, like, we've still got a way to go, but so many more people now know what it is.
Let's talk to Pamela and Joe about what they're doing in business. Now, Pamela, you've got two strings to your bow because you're helping a manufacturing firm get through all the manufacturing obstacles there are in the country following COVID, but you're also running a small consultancy.
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, I think there's a conversation to be had about dehumidifiers.
Yes. Pamela's firm makes domestic dehumidifiers.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think there's a conversation there that there's, if you're dealing with thousands of properties, yeah, I think there's a definite conversation that we should,
Keep them dry, keep them the right level of humidity.
Yeah, yeah. You're an expert on them, Graham.
I am. I have a very old house and I have two of them keeping it very dry.
Yeah.
And it does the job. It really does. So the businesses, how are the businesses performing? And tell us a little bit about your consultancy. First, the bigger business, the manufacturing business.
I think it's been, well, it definitely has been tough for EBAC over the last few years. But talking about the positive stuff, we've got some great new products. And that's been really challenging for a business to steer its way through sort of post-COVID and all of the joys that that brings, because we do... We're a manufacturer. We make as much as we can under our roof, but we do import components from all around the world. Mm. And bringing materials in and delays with lead times and all sorts of things has been a real challenge to the business. And actually, International Women's Day, my sister, she does most of that incredible work, actually, keeping the factory balancing all of that and keeping those running. And at the same time, because the founder and my dad is an engineer, we've at the same time also developed some air source heat pump projects, and we've taken dehumidifiers to another level. So we've got a dehumidifier that's specifically for social housing now, because that's a huge problem still. One that I actually think that talking to most of the social housing businesses, actually, it's a problem that they do want to fix and they're not sure what to do.
And they're getting a lot of criticism. If you look at a lot of media reports about social housing in Britain, where people are pointing to persistent damp and mould problems, and your products are able to tackle those.
They are. I think there's some misconceptions, though. And, you know, I was very pleasantly surprised that speaking to the social housing businesses, as I say, they have an escalation process to take a tenant through that and give them a solution. They didn't have the right solution until we've now got a solution for them that can be fit into the loft of a house, so it can't be taken out or moved or switched off. So it's there running to keep the house dry. So that's the landlord's responsibility to do that. I don't know whether it's appropriate to talk about the solution that they're currently putting in, which is PIV. And the problem with that is it basically brings cold air from the outside and blasts it through the house. So tenants are switching it off because it's cold. So it's a nuisance, you know, and most of our homes now are better sealed, and we create a lot of moisture with the things that we do, drying laundry inside, cooking, washing, everything. So I would say, as you know, every house should have a dehumidifier. I don't care who you are. Your home and life will be better with a dehumidifier.
Pamela's very passionate. By the way, Pamela's firm also makes washing machines, water coolers, the kind you have in offices, dehumidifiers, and now heat pumps. So we'll come to that in a moment. Joe, we can't miss you out.
No?
You run a smaller business in Teesside. Tell us about the business, the size, scale, and what you do.
Yeah, no, well, my background's actually manufacturing as well. So I spent 20 odd years in the steel industry. My last role is HR director of SSI, the big steelworks at Redcar. And when that failed, I set up HR Alchemy. And we've got nearly 190 clients now, all across the UK and beyond. We look after, you know, small businesses. Our largest company that we look after has got 700 employees. So, you know, we work with the small and the large, and everything in between, including a dragon from Dragon's Den.
Yes. So we can't really mention it was Sarah Davis who made business in northeast of England, but we accidentally did. Now, let's just talk to all three of you about where you see the economy and the environment that you trade in. It might be different because you each have slightly different areas of service that you do. There was a report that was published just today in the northeast of England. It's from that West Bank, by the way. It's a survey of business. In northeast England, it's a positive report. Business is growing. It's but the trend. Northwest and Yorkshire and Humberside, down, business is down. Then you've got the KPMG recruitment and employment survey, which says that 2/3 of businesses believe that the new national insurance costs will be hitting the economy hard from next month.
Yeah.
And approximately 300,000 businesses in the UK say that they will be reducing their headcount. Now, that's the data. What's the experience? Live first.
Yeah, I mean, we very much, obviously, our business kind of operates based on how the property market's going, and property is quite strong right now, in the sense that, you know, we've got the new interest rates, properties are selling quickly, we're looking for more stock to sell. So our business is booming as a result of that. And if the market is down, we kind of succeed, and if the market is up, we succeed as well, because people are always looking to sell their property no matter the market. And if the market isn't great, people need that sort of competitive edge.
Yeah.
And if it's the market is great, then they still want the competitive edge and to really drive up the price and drive up the competition.
I think that's great. It is a product that gives you a USP. What about the manufacturing side? Is it easy to keep costs under control? And will there be any hits to you in your NI costs?
Yeah, I mean, we mainly manufacture everything in the UK. And so, yeah, we import a few things. We've not experienced too much turmoil in that sense. We've worked with our people for almost like 8 years now. Prices obviously have increased, but not to a point that we're not profitable or able to offer it at an affordable rate.
Okay. Now, let's talk to you both about where you see this. I've given you some data. What's your lived experience?
So it's interesting that NatWest say that things are booming in the Northeast, because do feelings and emotions follow the actual trend, or do they set where the trend ends up being? But Entrepreneurs Forum, I think there's a more of a cautious sense, mm-hmm. I think, in the Northeast with those businesses. Mm-hmm.
These are owner-managed businesses.
Owner-managed, you know, sort of entrepreneurial type businesses are definitely, you know, there's a definite air of, they're not as optimistic, and that's unusual for entrepreneurs as well, because they just tend to be a pretty determined, happy bunch, and you know they tend to be able to get over anything. So there is definitely a shift, I think, sort of that doesn't really ring true with what that NatWest report.
Yeah, the KPMG report might be more in tune. Now, your own business, these things are always public, but they're always past. You've recently had your annual results for 2023 put in the media, and 2024 trailed, and it hasn't been good in terms of losses in your manufacturing business. How easy is it to take what's happened in the past and be positive about the future?
It's difficult, because sometimes it's a rotten hard slog, and you feel that you don't get any breaks. But the chairman, Dad's voices, he keeps saying he's never felt it so tough, but being so optimistic about the opportunities, mainly around the air source heat pumps, and the fact that we've now got a product that fixes the social housing problem, and they seem to want it fixed. You know, now
the deals have to be done. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, having a couple of years of not particularly good trading accounts is difficult, because a lot of businesses look at that and people worry about it. Audit this year was really difficult to get the accounts through.
Your family did something about it. If I remember rightly, your dad lent the business money from his pension fund.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's 80 years old, and he turned around, he said to me, I don't need it. I'm not retiring. I'm too young to retire.
Yeah, we're getting them sent away in the white cart soon. But we have actually had the family have sort of held the business up financially over the last couple of years. So it's sort of working against us now, because the accounts don't look that brilliant when, you know, you've got family money in there.
But put your money where your mouth is.
Well, absolutely, and you know, it's a business pretty much as old as I am, so you know, and it's you know, 50 years not out, and that's it. We want to be there for another 50 years. My two boys have just joined as apprentices, so if nothing else, you know, I want that business to be there for their future. It's been there all of mine, you know. Dad founded it, so But yeah, it's difficult. And of course, it's been news, really. Our 2023 accounts are filed and people are asking questions about them. And we're here, it's March 2025. Yeah. It's like, well, we're still here. You know, here we are. We're still free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It is old news, but, you know, that's you've just got to be prepared to deal with those things. I think lack of funding is probably our biggest obstacle.
And funding, when it comes to funding the Live, I'm going to bring you in a minute, Joe, promise you. But you've obviously had to fund your business, particularly this manufacturing side. How did you get that done? Did it come from organic growth and profits?
Yeah, I mean, we've never taken investments, so we're fully self-funded. And it's just with the business model that we built. So when a client pays us, obviously we now have over 40 kits of furniture. But originally a client would pay me, I'd use that money to buy the kit of furniture, stage the property. They would only rent the furniture from me. So when I got my second client, I would then be able to place that furniture and it was pretty much 90% profit. So we just funded the business again and again and again like that until we built up our stock. And yeah, we've never taken investment.
I want to ask you a quick question about your age, because you were explaining you're in your mid-20s now and you started from school. I know Pamela's very keen on this point, and that is the enterprise or the ability to teach and encourage enterprise in the school age isn't universally understood by the education system. How did you manage to become an enterprising individual and turn your back on A-levels and degrees and so on?
Yeah, I mean, it was challenging because my school wasn't supportive of it. So I had really good grades and they wanted me to go on and do, you know, science or become a lawyer or something like that. And I actually got told, when I told the careers office that I was leaving school at 16, they said, like, you're ruining your life. Mm-hmm. And under 2 years, I generated like a £1 million business.
Wow.
But my mom was very supportive. She was self-employed. So she was always sort of my inspiration, and she was very encouraging. And then in 2 years, she left her own business to join mine. And she's still with me 8 years later. So,
Pamela, what's your view on this? Because you're on the board of colleges and all sorts.
Yes, I think first of all, teachers have only ever known education, so I think it's really difficult for them to try and inspire anything. But so my challenge to you would be to get back into that school and talk to, you know, the sort of students that are in there now, and actually show them that there is a different, you know, because I'm not against the world of academia. Mm. You know, and it is a route into certain careers, you're right. You know, if you wanted to be a scientist or an accountant or a solicitor, you know, there is an obvious route there. But yeah, I'm really the to go into schools and talk to them. The problem is schools worry about me going in and talking to them, because I tend to, it's not that I discourage students from going A-levels in university, but I think that you've got to show them all the possibilities and what the routes are, because to say that you're going to ruin your life, like, it's quite a dramatic statement, isn't it? But I hear it so often. We had a school come into the factory and the teacher said to the children, you need to stick in hard. There's a good old northern phrase for you. Stick in hard and get your exam results. Otherwise, you'll end up working in a place like this.
Oh, it's
growing. Unbelievable.
I've been back into my own school, and I actually have a charity called Too Big for Your Boots, which is the name of my first book. Right. And that's what we do. We go into schools, we host events.
Brilliant.
And we encourage young people to go into entrepreneurship rather than employment or university.
Well, I think, Liv, it's very interesting. Well, a friend of mine, and one of my firm's clients is Duncan Ballantyne, a fellow Glaswegian. He left school early. And he always says that, you know, education needs to gear up to encourage youngsters to take on alternative paths. And so he's definitely fallen endorsing your route. Let's talk to Joe. Joe, what is your feeling about where the economy is, and how are your business is prospering or not? What difficulties?
Yeah, I mean, with us, with HR, we tend to look after firms, you know, when things are going really well, but also when things are not so well, because, you know, if you're restructuring redundancies, that's where you need, you know, your friendly HR person to prop you up. So, business-wise, you know, everything's, I mean, surprisingly, dark times like COVID were actually boom times for us, because people wanted to understand furlough, understand all
the advice
was really key at that time. But a lot of our clients, we're seeing an upsurge definitely in clients wanting to look at restructuring, handholding for redundancies and helping them through times that, you know, probably 12 months ago, were not considering, but there's a nervousness for sure. National Insurance, I think, you know, obviously more immediate, but I think further down the line, there's a nervousness about maybe changes in the Employment Rights Bill. There's nervousness about, you know, what's going on in America. So there's lots of things happening that are making clients a little bit unsettled.
The Employment Rights Bill for a small employer, and I'm a small employer, it does cause a little anxiety because, you know, one feels that my team are a family and you want to bring them in, but you protect the ship, not the sailors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's difficult to make hard-headed decisions when the law is between you and the decisions as well as the parties.
Yeah. I mean, we're still not fully aware of what the content will be. There's lots being leaked to the press at the moment. I had to send a newsletter out to my clients recently just to say, look, just let's kind of keep calm because actually we don't know the detail yet. And if it does come in the way that it's being discussed, then we've got a bit of time to prepare. It's not going to be till autumn 26. So, but I think it's just that backcloth of we're dealing with national insurance increases, then what is to come? Mm. And, you know, the world's a bit of a crazy place at the minute as well. So without friends over the pond, so it's kind of a
balance on the back of business, though. I mean, the NI rise is £25 billion.
Yes.
And the cost of the Employment Rights Bill, according to the government estimates, is £5 billion. That's £30 billion, you know, a billion here, a billion there, and then we'll be talking real money. Liv, what do you think about that? How many people do you employ?
I've got two companies. So the property stagers, we have a team of 10. And then my company, Stager Boss, which coaches women how to launch staging businesses, we've got a much smaller team of just 3. And some contractors that we work with. I don't tend to deal with that side of the business. I'm very much the creative, I'm the visionary, and kind of my mum handles that side of the business.
Well done.
So I'm sure she knows about it.
You've subcontracted your headaches out, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Victor, that's what...
More than happy to help, yeah.
You'll take the headaches on for businesses.
Generally, that's what we do, yeah. Yeah, when we like to say we deal with it in a normal way. We're not formal about it at all. We're just normal people.
Now, I want to hold something up as we conclude our conversation. And it's this. It's an initiative. Now, it's in Teesside in the northeast of England, but it's worthwhile talking about because the issue could be replicated anywhere in the country. Now, this is a document called The Impact of a Cancer Diagnosis. And it's on a campaign that Joe is behind in Teesside called Talk Cancer Teesside. Joe, over to you. Tell us about it.
Thank you. Well, as a business owner, I've worked in industry a long time, deal with, you know, management teams, some that are very skilled and empathetic, but a lot of really negative stories about people, well-meaning managers, dealing with employees impacted either directly or indirectly, so family or themselves directly by cancer, and really not handling it terribly well. The context I come from is that, you know, back when I started out, we didn't talk about mental health. We didn't talk about menopause. Oh, God, we didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about, dementia. Why are we not talking more about cancer? You know, 50% of our workforces are going to be affected, if you believe the statistics, 1 in 2. So why should we not be training our leaders and our line managers how to handle this? And so I've created this as a campaign and we started in Teesside and I am a trustee at Teesside Hospice. We're using their training, their head of bereavement services to do the training, go into businesses, deliver the training, and then we'll accredit their work for their workplace as a Talk Cancer Teesside accredited workplace. We'll supply all the HR documents, the policies, all of the support documents to go with that. And so we're just building up momentum at the minute. We're kind of trialing it in real time at the minute. We're running a session with a big law firm in a few weeks. And we're just trying to generate enough interest to get this thing rolling.
And if I can summarise the actual offer, it is that an employer can attend a short session, a few hours long.
2 to 3 hours
long, that will cost £120 or thereabouts.
Correct.
The money will go to the hospice, so it's not proper.
So I'm not taking anything from this. This is all about generating money for the hospice.
And they will learn how to deal with the situation.
There'll be role-playing, training, and there'll be documents and training materials provided that they can keep continually referring to.
Now you and I, Joe, and I don't mind sharing this experience. I know you've done so yourself. Yep, well, you and absolutely. I have both had spouses. My late wife was diagnosed with terminal cancer in her late 40s. She was 47 and died at 50. So those last 3 years of her life, part of that was dealing with her employer and working out a schedule to leave work that made it possible for her team to continue. Your husband has also had a cancer diagnosis.
Both my parents.
And thankfully, your husband is still with us.
He is, yeah.
But what was your experience of the workplace that your husband was telling you about?
Well, I mean, he is self-employed as well as myself. And actually, he told his workplace, but really didn't share a lot of the details, told proper kind of male pride and everything, bloke. And he actually scheduled all his radiotherapy treatments at about 8 o'clock, so he could do them before he went into work. And he did that for 3 weeks continuously, didn't tell anyone. So
having chemotherapy, it would.
I mean, chemo would be, I think, would be impossible.
The employee would need to understand that.
Absolutely,
the rights of the employee in that context.
And the training that we're providing is that all of the dealing with employees has got to be on an individual basis because everybody's journey is different. So the training that the hospice providing to local businesses is stressing that point. And, you know, here's some frameworks, here's some role plays that we'll practice, but actually just bear in mind that everybody's experience will be different because of their pathway.
Well, look, I'm going to leave it there. Liv, thank you for joining us. Been very interesting hearing you. Pamela, some very wise words as usual. And thank you, Joe, for
what
you're doing.
No problem.
Now, if you want to join us as a guest on the Northern Business Podcast, feel free to get in touch. Use LinkedIn to get in touch with me, Graham Robb, or Recognition PR. Thanks to our podcast producer, Alex Dryden, and our technical operator, Robin Campbell. Join us next time for the Northern Business Podcast. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe and rate us on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.